But first to Gaza, where this morning's hopes that a deal had been done to end the fighting between Israel and the Palestinians have been dashed. Israeli airstrikes are continuing to shake the Gaza Strip, Palestinian rockets are still being sent across the border, and more Israeli troops are massing in preparation for a ground offensive. Earlier today, reports emerged that an agreement had been brokered by Egypt's new Islamist government. But the speculation ended with a media conference in Jerusalem by the US Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Obviously, no country can tolerate a wanton attack on its civilians. Now, if there's a possibility of achieving a long-term solution to this problem through diplomatic means, we prefer that. But if not, I'm sure you understand that Israel will have to take whatever action is necessary to defend its people.
We believe it is essential to de-escalate the situation in Gaza. The rocket attacks from terrorist organizations inside Gaza on Israeli cities and towns must end and a broader calm restored. The goal must be a durable outcome that promotes regional stability and advances the security and legitimate aspirations of Israelis and Palestinians alike.
And the US Secretary of State is now in private discussions with the Israeli Prime Minister. She'll then head to Cairo for talks with the Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi before going to Ramallah to meet the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. A former advisor to six US Secretaries of State says the current negotiators have only a matter of days to reach a deal to prevent another ground war in Gaza. Aaron David Miller is a Middle East analyst with the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars and served both Democrat and Republicans on Arab-Israeli negotiations. He spoke to me from Washington. Aaron David Miller, Hillary Clinton, the US Secretary of State, has just held a joint press conference with the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. You've been in the middle of numerous Middle East peace negotiations. How critical is the role of the US Secretary of State right now?
Well, it depends on the negotiation. This one is pretty far advanced, and I suspect the Egyptians, at least those are the reports they were receiving, have done a lot of work in hammering out the basic terms of what would be essentially a stand-down or interim agreement between Hamas and Israel. So the question is if that is in fact true, and if it holds, her work would be brief to shore it up. If it doesn't hold, and she gets trapped in the middle of a deterioration, then she could be called upon, as previous secretaries have, to do some serious shuttle diplomacy.
What do you think are the likely terms of any ceasefire?
Well, the problem is that the last agreement brokered by the Egyptians, the terms were never released, but it clearly was quiet for quiet, and then a number of de facto understandings that would flow from that. I mean, on one hand, the Hamas wants the end of all targeted killings on the part of Israel of their cadre. On the other, they want the blockade to be loosened, if not lifted. And those terms, it seems to me, are going to have to be worked out via the Egyptians once there's a basic understanding that the fire will stop. I don't think that whatever the terms are, you're going to end up right now with any guarantee of a permanent interim agreement. It sounds contradictory, but that's what essentially required. And that would serve the interests, it seems to me, of both sides. A multi-year commitment, a prolonged truce, essentially, which would neutralize Gaza. Now, it would allow Hamas to consolidate its control. And one thing that's quite clear, Hamas' stock here has been rising exponentially, and the stock of Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority, declining. And that's going to continue, and that poses a serious threat to the prospects of a real permanent agreement that would address the outstanding issues between the Palestinian National Movement and the State of Israel.
Yes, it seems that the terms of this ceasefire do come back to some sort of, as Hillary Clinton put it, comprehensive peace. But what is the likelihood in the current climate of, say, the Israeli government agreeing to end the blockade?
I think that will depend. There's going to be a probationary period here. There's going to be an interim period in which some measure of confidence and trust will have to be acquired by both sides, if in fact this is going to work. The Israelis would be more inclined to lift the blockade if you had an analogous commitment on Hamas and the Egyptians to stop the importation of high-trajectory weapons. You're not going to have one without the other. If you want to move this beyond a Band-Aid, you're going to have to do two things. Eliminate any new supplies of high-trajectory weapons into Gaza. And on the Israeli side, you're going to have to open up Gaza economically. I can't imagine that Hamas would be willing to essentially dismantle itself as a resistance organization. So I think there are limitations beyond which the terms of this agreement cannot go. And if you want a political settlement, you're going to have to figure out a way to unify the Palestinian national movement, because Mahmoud Abbas, who is weaker and more feckless now than ever. At any rate, it's way too premature right now to talk about reconciling the positions of Benjamin Netanyahu and Mahmoud Abbas on these issues. First, we have to determine whether or not there's an agreement, whether or not that agreement is going to be sustainable, particularly in the face of opposition perhaps from smaller jihadi groups supported by Iran about what they're prepared to accept and what they're not prepared. So that's another structural impediment.
It seems like an almost impossible ask. How critical is the Egyptian leader in both negotiating and guaranteeing any deal? What influence can he have over Hamas?
Extremely important. In fact, the good news here, even while Hamas will consolidate its control over Gaza and gain a new international respectability, as a consequence of all of these Arab leaders, the Arab League, the Emir of Qatar, the foreign minister of Turkey, the foreign minister of Egypt, they've all been to Gaza in the last 2 weeks. None of them have been to visit Mr. Abbas in Ramallah. So Egypt's role is absolutely critical. There's no question about it. But it's going to have to be something that's nurtured. Otherwise, it's simply not going to work.
How quickly is the window for these negotiations closing? How long do these diplomats have to negotiate in order to prevent a ground war?
Look, I don't think the Israelis want to go into Gaza. There are real risks. But you can't keep 20,000 forces mobilized. Not only is it an economic drain, but it erodes Israel's own capacity to reestablish some deterrence. I mean, if the Israelis threaten and don't act, they'll be viewed as somehow weak. So I don't think we have a long time on this. I think this has got to come together. And if it doesn't come together, I think by Tuesday, Wednesday, if things are heading the wrong direction, it seems to me it's going to escalate.
That's a very short time frame, but the international environment has changed considerably since the 2008 conflict. Do you think that the dynamics of the post-Arab Spring make it more or less likely that there can be some sort of comprehensive peace?
Comprehensive agreement? No. I think that makes it less likely. But the fact that you have Islamist governments in Turkey and Egypt gives these governments more influence and access to Hamas. So for on the short-term stuff, for the moment, I think it may help. But over the long term, unless you have leaders willing to defy their publics, leaders who are willing to reach out to Israel and support the Palestinian Authority and the concessions that need to be made by both sides, it's going to be increasingly hard.
Aaron David Miller, thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Aaron David Miller is a former Middle East advisor to six U.S. Secretaries of State. He's now with the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars.